Let's look in the first chapter in the second verse. Let's read in the third verse, beginning at the third verse. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now I'd like to dwell just a few minutes on a thought and see if we can share our enthusiasm for God with you. I love to share my enthusiasm for God with you, especially if you want to be part of what we're doing for God. The Bible tells us in the beginning. In the beginning. I've said this a lot of times in preaching. The Bible speaks of in the beginning. And I've learned that everything has to have a beginning. Everything has to have a beginning. I spoke of this numbers of times. In the beginning. In the beginning. When you say in the beginning, where is the beginning? What is the beginning? What is meant by the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, the world was void and without form. There was no light in the world. It was dark. Darkness was upon the face of the earth, upon the face of the deep. There was no light. Everything was dark. When was all of this? It was in the beginning. In the beginning. You know, I love to think of it like this. In the beginning, Brother Pike, in the beginning, I was without form concerning the image of God. I was without likeness concerning the image of God. I was void. Darkness was upon my mind. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. I was without understanding. I was void of understanding. I was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. I had no understanding. I was without understanding. For in the beginning, when I met God, I was void of understanding. I was without image. I was without form. Darkness was upon the face of this deep. But God spoke to my heart, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And all of a sudden, out of the darkness I came. The darkness moved away, and the light of God shined forth in my heart. For out of the darkness God called the light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning, I stood in the beginning without form. I stood in the beginning, and there was no light. But God said, let there be light. And it pleased God. And God said, let the light be called day. I'm so thankful that God tells me in His Word that I am one of the children of the day. I am not children of the night, but I am a child of the daylight. I am of the children of the day. And today there is light in my heart. I am not a child of the darkness. All because that in the beginning I met Jesus. And Jesus said, let there be light. And today there is light. I'm so thankful, Brother Bill, that I don't hardly know how to contain myself when I think that God has brought the light to me. I have seen people as they cried. They would sit and cry. And they would say, Brother Pike, I was so much in darkness. I was out yonder in the world, and I was in darkness, and I was just there. I didn't know where I was going, and I didn't know what I was doing. And all of a sudden, God has opened my understanding, and God has made me to see. And today, I can see, and I can understand. And I'm so thankful to God because He was considerate of me. The Bible said, and they that sit in the regions of darkness, to them, unto them, great light is springing up. And today, we are children of the daylight. We are children of the great day star. The Bible said, until the day star dawns within your heart. And we are children of the great daylight. The day star hath dawned in my heart. Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. The Bible said, he that overcometh, to him I will give the bright and the morning star. God will give unto us the bright and the morning star if we overcome. But we've got to overcome. You say, but Brother Pike, I don't know how to overcome. I've tried to overcome, but I can't overcome. But the Bible said by the words of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, they overcame. Hallelujah. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of the testimony. To him that overcometh, I will give unto him the bright and the morning star. And he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father. It is such a thrilling experience to know that I have overcome. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, one of these days perhaps you will overcome. But I want you to know that I have already overcome. I've already overcome. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I overcome by the words of testimony in what Jesus Christ done for me. It's not what I can do. It's what Christ already did for me. I'm not rejoicing in my ability. I'm not looking forward to what I might come unto or attain unto in being able to overcome. I have already overcome. I am rejoicing in the fact that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what fills me with joy. That's what makes me happy. That's what makes me thrill in my soul, is to know that I overcame. And the Lord wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible, speaking in the book of Revelation, speaking of the beast, and said, these overcame him. And every one of these said their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And so then I have overcome because God wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Today I stand with victory. Today I stand free from sin. Today I stand as one that is the bodily members of Christ Jesus. One that cannot sin because God hath made me to be clean in his blood by his own spilt blood. The Bible teaches he that is born of God cannot sin. Do you believe that you're born of God? I'm born of God. The Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Though you may stagger, though you may stumble, though you may make many mistakes, yet the Bible said he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I wished I could have that testimony, but I know that I sin every day. Someone would say, well, I'm afraid to make that testimony there, because I know that if I testify to that, that the very next day I'm liable to sin and fall into the snare of the devil. My brother, when God said he that is born of God cannot sin, it meant he cannot sin. He cannot sin on Monday. He cannot sin on Tuesday. He cannot sin on Wednesday. He cannot sin any day of the week. He cannot sin this year or next year or any other time, because he is born of God. Hallelujah. And so then I am born of God. I pass from death unto life. If I could sin, I would not be passed from death unto life. Because if I could sin, then I would die. Because the Bible teaches the sting of sin is death. And if I could sin, then I would have to die. But I pass from death unto life because I cannot sin, because I am born of God. What a great rejoicing. There's nothing that makes me more happy than to think that I cannot sin because I am born of God. The one thing down through my lifetime for so many years that haunted me was the fact that I might sin against God. But David said, his word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. When I came to the understanding that is not what I can do, it is not what I might someday become able to do, but it is because Jesus died for me that I cannot sin, then I begin to take courage. When I begin to realize it's not something that I'm going to obtain unto in my lifetime, but because Christ Jesus died, I am free from death, I am free from sin, and I don't have to worry about the things of this world anymore. Now you say, Brother Pike, but you know that you're still in this world and you have to worry. But I don't have to worry about this world. First of all, because I am not of this world, so I don't have to worry about this world. The second thing is, I am not in this world, for the Bible said God has chosen me out of this world, and hath hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So then I am not in this world, I'm not of this world, I don't have to worry about this world, for this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Amen. My faith in Christ Jesus' finished work has overcome the world. I am free from the world. I am free from sin and death. Paul boldly stood up And I like the way he stated it. He didn't back up. He didn't relinquish in his speech when he said it. He said, I am free from sin and death. I am free from the law. By the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am free. He that the Son hath made free, he is free indeed. I am free from sin and death. I don't have to stand here tonight and worry about sin and death. People who spend their time worrying about sinning, the devil has got them in a complex to where they cannot do anything for God. Did you know that? The devil has got them in such a place that they can't possibly do anything for God because they're always worrying about sinning. If the devil could come to you and the devil can hamper you and pressure you and put you under a pressure, you will never be able to do anything for God. You know why? Because you don't have any joy. You don't have any jubilance. You don't have any stimulation. You're under condemnation. And you can't be enthused over the things of God because it takes believing them to be enthused. You got to believe this before it becomes effective. You got to believe this before you feel alive about it. You got to be convicted in your heart that you're part of it before it can ever be part of you. Now then, so I don't have to worry about that. See, I testified, as I said earlier in my statement, Father, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now you say, Brother Pike, you can't make statements like that, but I'm already doing it. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. For thus it is written of me. Hallelujah. I am the body of Christ Jesus. I am members in particular. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. It spoke of me in the volume of the book. When the devil comes to me and the devil tells me that I can't be healed, if sickness begins to come upon me, I say, but thus it is written in the volume of the book, by his stripes I am healed. If the devil tries to discourage me and tells me, he says, you're unfit, you can't preach the gospel, you can't do this, when I know that I've done my very best to please God, I say, get thee behind me, Satan, for thus it is written in the volume of the book. The Bible said that Christ Jesus was made my sin that I might be made his righteousness in God. Then the devil tells me, he'll say, you better watch out. You're going to stumble in spite of all you can do. Hallelujah. I say, Satan, the Bible teaches that it is written in the volume of the book that he that walketh in the daylight shall not stumble, but he that walketh in the night shall stumble. And I say, I am a child of the day. I walk in the day. And the Bible said the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. To acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he shall direct your path. Then the devil, he talks to me, and he says, but what you're doing, you'll never be able to make ends meet. You'll never be able to tie the loose ends together. There's too much problem. There's too much opposition. There's too much financial difficulty. But I say, Satan, it is written in the volume of the book that God, even my God, said, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Hallelujah. I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. Delight thyself in the Lord, and I shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the devil says, but life isn't long enough. You know the problems, and you know the dangers, and you know that life isn't long enough. Why, about the time you get started, then you'll have to die and leave it all. But I say, Satan, it's written in the volume of the book that I pass from death unto life, and he that believeth in God shall never come into condemnation, for he is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. I am eternal in God, for I pass from death. I don't have to die. Behold, I show you a mystery, Satan. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. For thus it is written in the volume of the book. What are you here for, Brother Pike? I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. What is thy will? That I walk in the light as he is in the light. For God said, let there be light, and there was light. And since there is light, then I walk in the light. We sang the song, we walk in the light. Because there is light, God has brought light. And I can walk in the light. I don't have to walk in the darkness. because I am a child of the light. Thus it is written of me, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Isn't it wonderful to know that God, from the foundation of the world, before there ever was a star, before there ever was anything that ever came into existence, that God wrote your name down in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible said the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Isn't it a wonderful thought to realize that God wrote your name down in the Lamb's book of life, and today you're free from sin and free from death, and that you have all power over the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. The devil, he'll come along and he'll threaten you, and he'll say, you know, you better be careful. And he'll huff and he'll puff, you know, like the story about the three little pigs. I'll huff and I'll puff. But, you know, you say, look, Satan, it is written in the volume of the book, I'm not afraid of thee, because thus it is written, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen. Amen.
I am free from sin and death. I am free from the conflicts of life. I am free from the problems and disorders that would take away the greatness of God in my life and make me a slave to tribute. I stand today, after many years of preaching the gospel, after many testimonies of righteousness, after many conflicts and many battles, I stand today victorious. I was victorious many years ago. I stand today victorious. I stand today in the face of all of the threats of Satan, all of the powers and evils, all of the accusations, everything that could have disfigured my life in the sight of my fellow man and in the sight of God. But I still stand today victorious in God. Why? Because thus it is written in the volume of the book, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. The Bible said that if your ways please me, I will make even thine enemies to be at peace with thee. I will trouble them that trouble you. The devil comes around and he begins to harass me. He tells me all kinds of things and he begins to probe at me. And he tells me, you're not going to be physically able to go on. You're not going to be able to do the things you want to do. You're not going to be able to accomplish the purpose in life that you set out to accomplish, because you don't have the strength to do it. You'll not be able to survive because of the strength, the strenuous test that will be set before you. But I say again, thus it is written in the volume of the book.
Hallelujah.
It is written of me, let the weak say that I'm strong. Be strong in the power of my might, Jesus said. I have his favor. I have his blessings. I have the assurance before I ever stumble that I'm not going to stumble. Before I ever came into this world, my name was written down in the Lamb's book of life. Before I ever came into this world, my future was planned and I was predestinated unto righteousness. Before I ever breathed my first breath, Paul said, it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in my life. David said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, all of my members was wrote down in the book of God. Oh, what has our father Abraham found, as I said the other night? He's found this great light. Where is this great light? It's in the volume of the book.
Amen.
For in the volume of the book it is written, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and today there is light, because the volume of this book giveth forth light. Hallelujah. There's a great shining light from God that has been given to the sons and daughters of God. The entrance of thy word bringeth light, O God. Just to walk in the light, to have him to look down upon us and enlighten our minds. Paul said that your understanding may be enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights and the depths and the widths of God's eternal word. In the volume of God's book, there is an answer to your problem. It doesn't make any difference what your problem is. God has the answer.
Amen.
God has the answer. It's written in the volume of the book.
Amen.
God has the answer. What is your problem? God has the answer to it. It makes no difference what it is to God. Is there anything too hard for God? Joshua had a problem. He had to fight a battle, and there wasn't enough hours in the day to do it. What a problem Joshua had. Joshua no doubt thought, Lord, we're not children of the darkness, but we're children of the light. And here we have fought all the day long. But Father, the darkness is coming, but we're not children of the darkness. We can't fight through the darkness, but we're children of the light. And God spoke from heaven, inspired Joshua's heart. Amen. And Joshua said, let there be light. And there was light. And the Bible just said, the sun hasteneth not to go down for such a long time. Joshua turned over to the moon and said, moon, stand still. Hallelujah. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Why? Because the children of light had a battle to fight, and they needed the light to fight it in. I'm glad that our sun will never go down. You know, the Bible speaks of some people, and it says their sun has gone down at noon. You know what your sun is? Your sun is your life. Your sun is your life. Everything in the world depends on the sun because of life. And your sun is the life. Is that right? Your sun is your life. And some people have lost their life right in the midst of their youth. Some people's sun has gone down at noontime. Isn't it right? But I'll never forget, way down near the Mexican border, down there in Texas, I remember visiting with a little black woman. They wanted me to pray for her. You've heard me tell the story. I went to pray for her. She was dying, a little skinny, just skin and bones, laying there in the bed. I went there to give her a word of encouragement because I didn't see how God was going to spare her. And I remember she said this to me. She looked up as I started to say words of encouragement. And she reached up and she said, praise him in the morning, praise him at the noontime, and praise him when the sun's going down. And I want you to know that she knew that she was dying, but she was happy. She had a victory in Christ. And she said, I praised him in the morning, I praised him at the noontime, I'll praise him when the sun's going down. That's the way it ought to be. If we don't have the victory to praise him when the sun goes down, we don't have the victory. It's like this leader that we read of tonight in the paper concerning the Soviet leader. He made the statement that people are spiritually dying, and he said they should be ready by faith to die. He said, but very few are, in his way of explaining it. When it really comes down to the crisis, are we really ready to die? That is for the cause of Christ. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, most assuredly, I'm ready to die. But did you know that you can cross your grain just a little bit and you'll find out how much you are still alive? Amen. You say, well, I just feel like I'm dead. Somebody said, I just feel like I don't have any life in me. But you just stick them with a pin. Amen. You just go over and you cross their grain a little bit and you'll get more sparks than you ever dreamed would be in that person. They've got plenty of life, but they're spiritually dead. Amen. You know why? Because like it was with me in the beginning, they haven't met God. In the beginning, they haven't met God. They need a beginning. They've never had a beginning. But if they go back there, they'll find it in the volume of the book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, you can find yourself a beginning in the volume of the book. Go back there in the volume of the book and you'll find there's a beginning. And what is the beginning? It's the Word that was in the beginning. Come to the Word of God. You know, this body, you take this body. Paul called this a body of death. And Paul spoke of a continual warfare between this body and between the spirit, between the inner man and between the outer man. See, there is a continual conflict. A continual war. And we've got to overcome the outer conflict. We've got to overcome the passions of the body. We've got to drive out everything that's unlike God. The Bible said that we should never let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We should never at any time let sin reign in our mortal bodies. That is, never let it have control. He said, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. He said, for the will is present, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For within my flesh I cannot find any good thing, Paul said. But we've got to overcome the old man. We've got to overcome the outer man. We've got to overcome the flesh. We've got to overcome that part that's tearing at us. That part of passions that's always gnawing at the inner man. We've got to rise up above it in that we will not let Satan have the reins of our heart. In that we will not let sin rule and reign in our heart. But we will stay in control of it from the powers and the might of the day star that's shining from within. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And out of the darkness of my innermost being, there came forth light. And the day star began to dawn within my heart. Out of my innermost being, there came a light. And that light sprang forward from my innermost being. That light sprang up into everlasting life. That light spring forth, and today it shines round and about. The light of God shows me the way that I should go. It shines upon my pathway. It leads me through the dark, deep valleys of despair, and it takes me through the treacherous wilderness of life and keeps me from all of the pitfalls that Satan has laid. Why? Because in the volume of the book it is written of me, O God, that he shall give his angels charge concerning me, and they shall bear me up in all of my ways, lest at any time I should dash my foot against a stone. Thus it is written of me, O God. Today I search to see where I dwell, and I find I do not dwell in the earth. I search to see where I dwell, and I find that I cannot find a dwelling place as that of such as mankind. But then I say, Lord, where then is my dwelling? Where then, God, can I go? And the Lord speaks to me again and says, thus it is written in the volume of the book, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. I'm the door to the sheepfold. And he tells me in the volume of the book that is written of me, that my dwelling is in the volume of the book. For as the little girl quoted, the shatter, a great shatter in a weary land, a great shatter that I can get under to hide from the heat of the day. Hallelujah. As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's when I get into the types and shadows of the Bible, the types and shadows of God, as I walk through the valley of the shadow, the types and shadows of this world, it's when I get in there that I look and I see the great revelation of God begin to unveil itself to me. The revelation of Christ Jesus, where is it found? In the volume of the book. The Old Testament is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the veil. In the New Testament, the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of God unveiled. And so then, we find ourselves in the volume of the book. We find ourselves moving from dispensation to dispensation. We find that as it was in the days of the prophetical utterance, there was a spiritual cry, there was a spiritual voice, there was a spiritual moving, and the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. For the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson. But then we find at Calvary, there was a dark age, an intellectual age, a day of reasoning. A day when the monks penned the word, and it became an intellectual thought. It became a penned word. It became a scribbling from the scribes. And the dark age set in, because the Holy Spirit that had never dwelt in the mind and body of mankind had always been in the light. For God is light, and in God there is no darkness. But when God came into the heart of mankind, into the intellectual understanding of mankind, to make himself known as the day star springing up from within, when God came into it, the Bible said God veiled himself in darkness. And so then as it moved through the dark age and came out into the age that we're living in, once again it came out and unveiled itself as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit today has put away all of our ignorance, all of our misunderstandings. And the Spirit today has taken away that which was unbecoming in the sight of God. And today he hath made us his own body and made us his own image. And today he says to us, according to the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, I come to do thy will. For the Bible said, and the word was made flesh. The volume of the book was made flesh. And today the volume of the book has been made flesh. No more a scribbling and no more something that a scribe has penned. But today the volume of the book is hid within the heart, and today the volume of the book is made revelation to babes such as will learn. The volume of the book has been made flesh, and today it is the walking membership of the eternal God. Amen. Why? Because the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the Son of God, as of the only begotten, the manifestation of the volume of the book. Within him there is life. Without him there is no life. For in the beginning God said, let there be light. And there was light. And today there is still light. Today there is still light. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Today there is still light. For the Bible said it shall come to pass in the evening time, there shall be light. For great light is spring up unto them that sat in the regions in the shadow of death. And there they were in great fear when there was no fear. Who is he that I should be afraid of? If I have passed from death unto life, if I am free from condemnation and evil, if I am free from the powers that harass my mind, who is he then that I should fear? Hallelujah. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Hallelujah. And who shall prevail before his will? For the Bible said in the volume of the book, it is written of the saints of God, and no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Did you know that Russia, America, it doesn't matter if Israel, it doesn't matter if the Japanese, it doesn't matter if the Germans, it doesn't matter if the Africans, it doesn't matter who formed the weapon against me. It cannot prosper. For thus it is written of me in the volume of the book, to do thy will, O God. That was Jesus' secret. Not my will be done, but thy will. Thy will be done, O Lord. That's why when we sang the song at the beginning of the service, I made the statement, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. For it's the Father in the Son. I want you to stand with me. Now I know it's hot. You get a crowd of people together on a hot day. They generate heat one to another. And makes it even more uncomfortable. But I thank you for your kind attention. And I believe that many of you believe what I'm telling you. You don't have to be sick, and you don't have to be in poverty. You don't have to be cut off from the good things of life. Neither do you have to take on such in life as being carefree and being apart from Christian living to obtain the things that your heart desires. For God has so prepared everything that it is yours. Everything belongs to me. Everything belongs to you. You are God's greatest possession. And you are God's greatest desire in the earth today. Did you know that? You're God's greatest desire in the earth today. You're the principal thought of God's heart. I made the statement a number of times. He said, I have engraved you in the palms of my hand that I might not forget you. I have loved you greater than a mother ever loved you. For I have engraven you in the palms of my hands. By the nail prints of my hands, I offer you the proof that I shall never forsake thee. I shall never leave thee. I shall never forget thee. I ask this question, what greater proof can anybody give to anyone? What greater proof can be offered to anyone than to receive the nails in the hands, to engrave a person in the palms of your hands, to let them know that you are an everlasting friend. You know, the Indians used to have a way of being blood brothers. They cut themselves to become blood brothers. They esteemed the cross of Christ that much. But see, today, me and the Lord, we're blood brothers. Hallelujah. We're blood brothers. Today, I have royal blood flowing through my veins. You know why? Because He spilt His blood at Calvary for me. And then the Bible tells me that as a sheep led to the slaughter, I am as a lamb that has been slain all the day long for His sake. And our blood flows together. Royal blood. I carry my cross and He carries His cross. And thus we are blood brothers together. Made blood brothers because He loved me and I love Him. Today, we are brothers. You love Jesus? The first brother among many brethren. Hallelujah. Let's go on to perfection, Paul said. Let's go on. There's a lot of things that we can have. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? How many of you tonight that are standing here, I've asked you this before, but I ask you again. How many of you would like to rededicate your heart and life to God? Would you like to rededicate your heart to God? Ask the Lord to take stock of your life and say, Jesus, You've commanded me to examine myself and see if I be in the faith. And Lord, I am examining myself. Do I believe? Do I believe? Do I really believe? Do I believe with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength? Do I really believe, Jesus? Do I believe? You know, it's one thing to be a church member, but it's another thing to be a believer in the Word of God, to believe in the volume of the book. I want to be found written on the pages of God. The Bible said everyone whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were turned into the lake of fire. And there were weeping, and there was wailing, and there was gnashing of teeth. People screaming and begging, saying, No, O Lord. No, O Lord, I didn't mean to gossip and backbite. I remember now, O the Lord, in the volume of the book it is written, that he that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. I remember. It comes to my remembrance. And I remember I didn't mean to do that. But it's too late. It's too late to do that. And then one will say, Oh God, I remember. I recall in the volume of the book, it told me to do good to my brother, but not to put my money out to usury. For thus it is written in the volume of the book, He that putteth his money out to usury shall be condemned at the judgment and shall not inherit the kingdom. Oh Lord, I'm sorry, but it will be too late. And then the adulterer and the fornicator and the liar and the cheat and the man with the fierce temper and the murderer, the deceitful man, that one which always wanted to trouble the righteous, always find fault, that one which always excused himself from carrying his cross and doing his part, that one that did not want to be part of God, all of those will begin to cry and say, Lord, I remember, for thus it is written in the volume of the book, the adulterer, the whoremonger, the fornicator, the liar, the cheat, the murderer, all are dogs that were locked outside of the beautiful gates of that city, saying, And they shall not enter into this city, neither any whoremonger, nor anything that defileth, for they shall not enter into this city. I remember, O God, but O God, forgive me, but the Lord will also say, It is too late. It is too late. For thus it is written in the volume of the book. For thus it is written in the volume of the book. It is too late. It is too late. The song said the rich man was there, but his money Couldn't do him any good. It couldn't do him any good. The man with fame and popularity was there, but all of his popularity couldn't do him any good. Couldn't do him any good. For the Lord had said to them, thus it is written in the volume of the book, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I find no record where you ever called upon the name of the Lord. And thus it is written in the volume of the book, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. For thus it is written in the volume of the book, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Thus it is written in the volume of the book that you thought I was altogether such a one as you. But I said that someday I shall meet you face to face, and it shall be as a bear that has been robbed of her cubs. For thus it is written in the volume of the book, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. And thus it is written in the volume of the book, the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. I want to do something for God. At night, I get to thinking, I think the same way in the daytime. I think, Lord, supposing something happens to my children, it'll be too late to pray. I must pray now. I must pray now. No matter how I feel, I must pray, God, because what if something happens? After then, I cannot pray anymore. All of my tears will be too late, for that which is dear to my heart will have been taken away. And I said, Lord, I must pray now. I must pray now, Lord. Give me strength. I must pray now. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way that it ought to be. Let's pray now. While you have breath, let's pray. While you have life, let's serve the Lord Jesus. While you have a mouth with life in your heart to speak words of consolation and understanding, let's testify. Let's testify to the things of God. You love Jesus? Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. Well, I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have the chance. Think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. Oh, I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. For I may not have a chance anymore. Well, I think I'll pray to Jesus just while I have a chance. I think I'll pray to Jesus just while I have a chance. Oh, I think I'll pray to Jesus just while I have a chance. For I may not have a chance anymore. Well, I think I'll testify while I have a chance. Think I'll testify just while I have a chance. Well, I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance anymore. I think I'll live a Christian life while I have a chance. Think I'll live a Christian life while I have a chance. I think I'll live a Christian life while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance anymore. Did you know today you have a chance to serve God? You're breathing. Your heart is beating. But did you know before this day is over, before this day is over, you may turn to walk away from the ministry. You may turn to go your way. And you may breathe your last breath. And your heart may stop. It may not never beat again. You may not never have a chance anymore. Life is so fragile. But right now you can breathe. Right now you can see. Right now you can talk. Right now you can do something for God. Right now. Right now you've got your hands are living. Your feet are alive. Your heart is alive. Your mind is functioning. Right now you can say glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Right now you can turn and tell somebody, take courage and walk on with Jesus. Right now, you have a chance, but you might not have a chance after a while. You may not have a chance after a while. Can we sing that one more time? Can we? Well, I think I'll preach the gospel just while I have a chance. I think I'll preach the gospel just while I have a chance. Oh, I think I'll preach the gospel just while I have a chance. For I may not have a chance anymore. I think I'll shout the victory just while I have a chance. I think I'll shout the victory just while I have a chance. I think I'll shout the victory just while I have a chance. For we may not have this chance anymore. Now listen. Well, I think I'll evangelize just while I have a chance. I think I'll evangelize just while I have a chance. I think I'll evangelize just while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance anymore. I think I'll sing a song just while I have a chance. I think I'll sing a song just while I have a chance. I think I'll sing a song just while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance anymore. I think I'll give to Jesus just while I have a chance. I think I'll give to Jesus just while I have a chance. I think I'll give to Jesus just while I have a chance. For I may not have this chance anymore. I think I'll help my neighbor just while I have a chance. I think I'll help my neighbor just while I have a chance. I think I'll help my neighbor just while I have a chance. For I may not have a chance anymore. I never will forget in the state of Nebraska when I was a real young minister. Betty and I was about 1,500 miles from home, and long then they didn't have too good a transportation. But I remember there we had a parsonage, we had a little church, and I had to work in the hay fields for a living. But I remember Betty saying to me one day, she said, there is a neighbor that is really in need of prayer. There is a woman that she really wants to see you and talk with you, and she needs help. She needs you to go talk with her. And being real young in the ministry, I didn't understand how quick life could go out. And I didn't understand the value of a human soul. And I said, Betty, I'll go. I'll go. She said, you need to go right away. I said, well, I will. I won't tarry. I'll go. But I put it off for just a little while. And in a little while, the neighbor had passed on. I've never gotten over it. I've never forgotten it. See, we sing the song, I think I'll help my neighbor just while I have a chance. For I may not have a chance anymore. I'll never have a chance anymore to help that neighbor. I might have could have said something. She might have died in sin. The judgment bar of the living God, when I stand there, I will meet that neighbor. And she'll be standing there. And what will I do? What can I say if her blood is on my hands? See, what can I do? So then, all I can do is say, my God, have mercy. Let's sing this one more time, and we'll let you go. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus just while I have a chance. Gonna give my heart